Hallelujah. We could leave right now and say we've been blessed. Amen. Wonderful testimonies. And thank our guest for being here today and for sharing. God is so faithful. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm excited about the word today and what the Lord has for us. Thank you, Gordon, for confirming the word that we have for today. So let's just get right into it. I don't want to hold you too long, but if the Spirit glues you to your seat, we'll stay right here with you until He releases you. How's that? So, all right, Mark chapter 11, beginning with the 22nd verse, Mark 11, 22, 23, and 24. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he again saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. I want to talk to you for just a few minutes this morning about there is power in the spoken word of God. Let me begin with this statement this morning. Your words are creating your future right now. Every syllable that you speak is either building or destroying, either blessing or cursing, or releasing faith, or releasing fear. And most believers have no idea that the moment they open their mouths and confess or declare the Word of God out loud, something happens in the unseen realm that is more powerful, more real, more immediate than anything they can see with their natural eyes. I'm not talking about positive thinking from a humanistic point of view. This is a spiritual law that operates whether you understand it or not. But once you see what Scripture reveals about the power of confession or declaration, once you understand what actually takes place when you speak God's word with your mouth, I don't see how one could ever be careless with their words ever again. Jesus operated in it. The apostles taught it. And this morning, I want us to see what really happens when you confess the word out loud. Not what religion says, not what tradition teaches, but what the Bible actually reveals about the creative power of your spoken confession. And by the time we're finished, I think you'll understand why the enemy works so hard to keep believers silent. Thank you very much. I was going to desire that pretty quick. And also why your confession is the key to your victory. Did you know that? And why speaking the word is not optional for the believer who wants to walk in power. Let's begin with the most foundational truth then in all of Scripture about the power of the Word. This is from Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3. It records the moment that creation began. Here's what it says. And God said, Let there be light, and there was light. Notice God did not think light into existence. He didn't hope for light. He didn't wish for light. He spoke. And the moment He spoke, creation responded. The entire universe came into being through the spoken word of God. Nothing existed until God opened His mouth and released His word into the void. And that's how powerful words are. That's how creative speech is. And guess what? You and I were created in God's image, which means we carry that same creative ability in our words. Proverbs 18 and 21 declares, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Your tongue has power. Not symbolic power, not metaphorical power, but actual, measurable, spiritual power. Every word we speak is a seed. And yes, we will eat the harvest of those seeds. Meaning, if I speak death over myself constantly, guess what? I will reap death quicker than I should. Did you ever hear someone say, they're just going to be the death of me yet? Keep saying that and it's going to happen. Yet if you speak life, you will reap life. If you speak defeat, you're going to live in defeat. If you speak victory, you will walk in victory. Again, this is not about thinking positively or being optimistic. This is about understanding that our words are containers of power and they are constantly shaping our reality. So yes, we could say our confession rules us. What we confess with our lips, we invariably possess, or we will be possessed by. Again, what you confess with your lips, you will possess. If you're continually confessing sickness, you're going to possess sickness. Why? Because you open the door to it. If you confess lack, you will possess lack. If you confess fear, guess what? You're going to possess fear. Don't let yourself find in yourself, I'm just so afraid of that. I'm so fearful of that. No, don't open the door to that. If you confess the right things, if you confess healing, if you confess provision, if you confess victory, guess what? You will possess those very things. Understand, your confession is not describing now your reality. Your confession is creating your reality. And most believers have this exactly backwards. They wait until they see the answer before they confess it. But faith confesses the answer before it sees it. Faith speaks the word, regardless of the circumstances. Faith refuses to agree with what the natural realm is saying and instead declares what God's word is saying. So let's see what actually happens when you confess the word out loud. Romans chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10. It gives us the blueprint. Here's what it says. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. This passage reveals the divine order. Believe in the heart, confession with the mouth, and then there is the manifestation in your life. You cannot skip the confession. Belief alone is not enough. James 2:17 says, even so faith, if it had not works, is dead, being alone. And the primary then work of faith is confession. It's speaking. It's declaring. It's releasing the word into the atmosphere. And here's what's happening in the spiritual realm when you confess the word of God out loud. First of all, you're activating your faith. Faith is not passive. Faith is active. Faith moves and faith speaks. Hebrews 11 and 3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So we see the words were framed, the worlds were framed by the word. And your world is framed by your words. Amen. your circle of influence. So when we speak the word of God, we are exercising the same creative force that God used to create the universe. You're calling things that are not as though they were, just like Romans 4:17 describes concerning Abraham's faith. You're not lying about your circumstances when you say, well, I'm determined that I'm staying above my circumstances. I'm not going to dwell beneath them and be overtaken by them. No matter what it looks like, and yes, they look very overwhelming at the moment. But I'm a victor. I'm not a victim in this. Well, what are you doing? You are speaking a higher truth, a spiritual truth that overrides what it may look like in the natural in that moment. Second, when you confess the word out loud, you are releasing angelic activity. Just hang in there with me if you don't believe in angels. Each one of us, I believe, has been assigned an angel. Psalm 103:20 says, bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. So we see where angels hearken to the voice of God's word. Not our opinion, not our complaints. You're not going to move them. Not our doubts. They're not moved by our fears. Only the spoken word. When you speak the word, angels are absolutely activated to perform it. And yes, when you stop speaking the word, angelic activity around your life, you're going to find, diminishes. And this is why the enemy works so hard to keep you and me silent. He knows that as long as you're not speaking the word, angels have nothing to respond to. But the moment you open your mouth and you declare God's word, by his stripes I am healed. My God shall supply all of my need according to the riches in glory. Here they go. Or, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. That's what the word says. There the angels go. Then angels go to work on your behalf because it was God's word. It wasn't your word. It wasn't your opinion. Third, when you confess the word out loud, you are silencing the voice of the enemy. Revelation 12:11 says, and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. The word testimony there is the Greek word martyria, which means confession, declaration, and witness. So you overcome the devil by the blood of Jesus and by the word of your confession. Not just by the blood. Guess what? The blood has already been applied. Jesus has already defeated Satan. But you enforce the victory through your confession. When the enemy comes and he whispers fear, while you're hearing the facts from the doctor, while you're looking at the test results, and believe me, he does come. He's done it to me. Then you speak faith. You stand on the truth of God's word, not on man's facts. That's all the doctor has, is the facts. We have got the truth of God's word. So when he brings symptoms of sickness, you declare healing. When he threatens lack, you confess provision. And by doing that, here's what you are doing. Every time you speak the word in faith, you are literally silencing his voice and enforcing the finished work of the cross. So I want you to get this in your spirit this morning. And that is the confession of our lips, which has grown out of faith in our hearts, will absolutely defeat the adversary in every battle. He can't stand against the word. Your confession is your weapon. As we saw last week, it's your sword. Ephesians 6:17 calls the word of God the sword of the Spirit. But I want you to notice something. It's not a sword until it's spoken. The word sitting in your Bible is potential power. the word in your heart, guess what? It's stored power. But the word on your lips is the released power. The word becomes a sword when you speak it out. And that sword absolutely will cut through every lie. It'll cut through every attack and every scheme of the enemy. That's why they have victory so many times. Most of the time, they're speaking the truth to those people that are hurting, that in need. And we know the enemy comes with their lies. But you're on the winning side when you're speaking truth. Amen. This is why Jesus, when he was tempted in the wilderness, did not argue with Satan. He did not reason with him. He simply said, "It is written. It is written." And he quoted the word. And guess what? The devil had no answer. Not a thing he could say. The spoken word of God from our lips is unstoppable. Praise God. Now, some people think confession is just repeating words. They think if they say enough times, it'll magically happen. But I want to tell you, that's not biblical confession. Biblical confession is not vain repetition. It's not mindless chanting. We know folks do that. Biblical confession is faith-filled declarations based on the Word of God. It's saying what God has said and refusing to say anything that contradicts that Word. And looking again in our scripture text of Mark 11, 23, we see it really does give us the key. "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." Notice the emphasis on speaking. Three times Jesus mentions saying. Once he mentions believing. So the balance is very clear. Belief is in the heart, but confession is with the mouth. And yes, both are required. But here's the part that so many folks seem to miss. You must not doubt in your heart. You can't confess healing with your mouth while doubting in your heart. You can't declare provision with your lips while worrying about the money in your mind. There has to be an agreement then between your heart and your mouth. And that's why renewing our mind is so critical, isn't it? Here's what Paul wrote in Romans 12 and 2. "Be ye transformed," how? "By the renewing of your mind." You're going to find then the more you saturate your mind with the Word of God, the easier then it becomes for your heart and your mouth to agree. And when they agree, oh boy, watch out. Miracles happen. Mountains move. Circumstances shift. The impossible becomes possible. So imagine that you're standing now in a dark room. The room represents your circumstances. And it's so dark you can't see. In fact, now you really feel stuck. You're stuck in place. You can't move because you can't see. Yet you have a flashlight in your hand, and that flashlight is the Word of God. But the flashlight doesn't help you unless you turn it on. Confession is turning on the light. And the moment you speak the Word, guess what happens? Light floods the room. The darkness cannot argue. It doesn't resist. What does it do? It flees. Because light always overcomes darkness. Your confession with your lips out loud is the switch that activates the power of God's Word in your situation. Praise God. And the more consistently then that you speak it, the brighter the light becomes until there is no darkness left at all. So when you confess the Word in faith, you're not describing what already exists. You are creating what does not yet exist in the natural realm. but you are calling it forth from the spiritual realm into manifestation. And that is exactly what God did in creation. He called light when there was no light. He called dry land when there was only water. He called living creatures when there was nothing. And it all responded how? To His Word. And guess what? You and I have the same creative authority when we speak God's Word in faith over our lives. You're not manipulating God. You're cooperating with Him. You're aligning your words with His Word. And when we do that, guess what? His power flows then through our confession to produce the results. You're going to see the results. So the question is, how does the believer begin to walk in the power of confession? Well, first, you got to know the Word. You can't confess what you don't know. We read this scripture last week. 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of God or the Word of truth. You have to study. You have to meditate. You have to let that Word become so deeply rooted in your spirit that it's the very first thing that comes out of your mouth when trouble comes. Not doubt, not fear. Don't let complaint be the first thing that comes out. Not some byword the world uses, but God's Word. God's Word. Then second, you got to speak the Word consistently. Not just when you feel like it. Not just when things are going well. All the time. When you wake up in the morning, begin to speak the Word. This is the day which the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. When you face a challenge at work, you speak the Word. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. When you receive a bad report from the doctor, speak the Word. By His stripes I am healed. It doesn't matter what you're looking at. It doesn't matter what the x-rays are showing. By His stripes I am healed. Brother North, you're a walking testimony of God's healing power. Listen now, don't wait to see the answer before you speak. You speak until you see the answer. That's faith. And that's how confession works. Third, you must refuse to speak anything that contradicts the Word. Proverbs 6 and 2. Thou art snared by the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. In other words, captive. So if you confess defeat, guess what? You're going to be snared by defeat. If you confess sickness, you're snared by sickness. Well, Pastor, I just catch this every July. Hold on, July's coming. If you confess poverty and lack, you're snared by those words. So stop it. Look at somebody and say, stop it. You have to guard your mouth like you guard your heart. Because as Luke 6:45 tells us, it's out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. And what comes out of our mouth, listen, will determine what comes into your life. What comes out of your mouth will determine what comes in to your life. I hope you're really hearing this today. Number four, you must persist in your confession even when nothing seems to be changing. When there's no manifestation yet of the situation changing. Sadly, this is where most believers give up. They confess the Word for a day or two, and when they don't see immediate results, guess what? They just quit. I guess it's my lot in life. Shut up. But Galatians 6 and 9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Like I said last Sunday, there is a due season. And there is a harvest, but it only comes to those who do not faint. Confession is not a one-time thing. declaring God's word over you and your family is not a one-time thing. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. It should be. It's a daily discipline. It's a constant declaration that you believe God's word then more than you believe your circumstances. If you want healing, confess healing. If you want provision, confess provision. If you want peace, guess what? Confess peace. For many, many years, I've given the testimony. My wife, growing up, she was so afraid of man's words, until she would just cow down. But I remember the hours and hours that she spent on the carpet at the church that we were attending, praying out. She'd take her lunch break from the school, go downstairs, lay there on the carpet praying for God to give her boldness to be able to speak up. And I promise you, God did it. She could stand before any man and speak God's word, tell him the truth. And he gave her just understanding and wisdom in that. So praise God. If you want victory, confess victory. Don't confess what you have. Confess what you want. Confess what God has promised. Now here we go. Confess what Jesus purchased for you at Calvary. Because when you do, you're not just speaking empty words. You're releasing creative power. You're activating angelic assistance. You're enforcing the victory of Jesus Christ. And you're positioning then yourself to receive everything that God has already provided for us. And let me address one more thing. Some people say, well, Pastor, I don't want to sound arrogant or presumptuous by declaring things that haven't happened yet for me. Oh, help me, Lord. Please listen to me carefully. That is not arrogance. It's called faith. Faith doesn't wait for manifestation before it speaks. Faith speaks the manifestation into existence. When you look at the life of Abraham in the Bible, you're going to see Abraham did not wait until Isaac was born to call himself the father of many nations. God changed his name before Isaac was ever conceived. Why? Because God wanted Abraham to confess his destiny before he ever saw it. And every time then Abraham introduced himself, every time someone called his name, he was confessing that he was the father of many nations. I'm Abraham. That means the father of many nations. And it was that constant confession then that built faith in his heart and released God's power in his life. And eventually what he confessed, we now know, became a reality. And today, understand with me, you are doing the same thing every time you confess the word. You're not being presumptuous. You're being obedient. You're not denying your circumstances. You're overriding them with a higher truth. You're not lying. You're declaring and speaking God's will into existence. I don't care what it looks like right now. I don't care what my bank account shows right now. I thank you, Lord, that I'm going to be victorious in this situation. I'm going to come out smelling like a rose. It may not be roses every day, but I'm going to come out smelling like a rose. Even have to spray something on me here. You're declaring and speaking God's will into existence. And the more you do it, the stronger your faith becomes and the faster you're going to see results. Praise God. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, as Romans 10:17 says. And every time you speak the word out loud, you're hearing it, you're building up your own faith. You're programming your spirit with truth instead of lies. And yes, guess what? In case you don't know it, the truth will make you free. So what really happens when you confess the word out loud? everything changes. Angels are activated. Demons are silenced. Faith is released. Your mind is renewed. And your heart is strengthened. I'm almost through. Your circumstances begin to shift. And the kingdom of God advances in your life. Not because you worked hard enough. No. Not because you earned it. But because you aligned your words with God's word. And His power did the rest. And that is what is called the normal Christian life. Amen? And this is how every born-again believer is supposed to live. Not in defeat. We're not to live in defeat. We're not to live in doubt. We're not to live in fear. We're to live in faith and power and in victory. Confessing the word day and night until every promise is manifest and every enemy is defeated. But here's where it gets even more powerful. Because once you understand the creative force of your confession, the next question becomes, who are you? Really, who are you? What is your true identity? Because if your words have the power to create reality, if you carry the same authority that God used to speak the universe into existence, then you must be more than just someone trying to live a good life. You must be something far greater, far more powerful, far more significant than the enemy wants you to believe. And guess what? We most certainly are. Amen. In closing, here's my declaration. I'm blessed. I'm redeemed of the Lord. I'm redeemed from sickness. Sickness, disease, viruses, and infections cannot live on my body. By His stripes, I'm healed. I am a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. I have the nature of God. I am created in His image and in His likeness. I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus flows through every cell, every organ, and every tissue of my body. I'm accepted in the Beloved. God loves me, and nothing can separate me from His love. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And we, not just me, but every one of us then, as a child of God, have been created by God to prosper and make a difference in the world. And so as a believer then, that's our language. And that is what our confession should be like every day of our lives. So as we leave today, determine that you're going through this year confessing and declaring so the enemy can hear it. Speak it out loud. Let him hear your declaration. Let him hear your confession. I will not accept that today, Satan. Absolutely not. I'm walking in victory today.